then this evening you say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? But an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it, except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They began to discuss among themselves, saying, "He said that because we didn't bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do not you understand and remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven maintain culture. Now, when they're wrong, they came back and rebuilt the temple. But then, you remember Alexander the Great conquered the Mediterranean basin after the Medes and the Persians empire. And he had no successors for him. So when he died in India, the age of 33, his four generals fought over control of the Grecian Empire. And as it turned out, two of the generals, Seleucus in Syria and Ptolemy in Egypt, ended up being the top dogs. So there was this constant fight between the Syrians and the Egyptians, which of course Israel was in the middle of. Egyptians go to Syria to battle them, then they have to go to Israel. And then the Syrians attack the Egyptians, they have to go through Israel. So the Syrians took over the control of Israel. And the last legitimate high priest was Onias III, who was a direct descendant of Aaron. And he was the last of the Aaronic line of priests. But there were some wealthy folks, and you remember there are two golden rules. One of the golden rules, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The other golden rule is, those who have the gold make the rules. That's been true throughout history. So just as there were people, Jews, who became wealthy in Babylonia, there were also some Jews who became wealthy in Jerusalem after the return and the rebuilding of the temple. And these wealthy elites came up with the idea, we will buy the high priesthood from the Syrians. And so they talked to the Syrian leader in Acts 15 and persuaded him, with a little cash under the table, to depose Onias III, the legitimate high priest, and put his brother in his place. So the Pharisees resisted this. And during this time, their movement grew exponentially. This was during the Maccabean revolt. And Judas Maccabeus and others revolted against the Syrians. And they established a commonwealth. And they overthrew the Syrian movement. And our Jewish friends still celebrate this victory with the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, which, by the way, when Jesus preached his sermon, "The Final Light of the World," it was during Hanukkah, when he was in Jerusalem observing Hanukkah. So the Pharisees were the ones that were the good guys. If you called me a Pharisee, I would be insulted. than the commandment of God. Then if you don't break the rabbinic tradition, you certainly won't break the commandment. That's why we don't know how to pronounce God's name, God's favorite name, Yahweh. We translate it as Jehovah, but the Shema of Israel, the Lord thy God is one, was recited at the beginning of every synagogue service, but we don't know, but they didn't say Yahweh. It would be Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It should say, Shema Israel, Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh. It should be the favorite name of God, but they substituted the name Adonai for Yahweh, so that they would not take the name of God in vain. Now, they had 5,000. 5,000 rabbinic traditions about keeping the Sabbath. For example, if you were a person, a poor person, and you slept on a pallet, it would be okay on Saturday morning to roll up your pallet and put it in the corner. That would not be breaking the Sabbath. But if you rolled up your pallet and took it into another room, that would be breaking the Sabbath. So they added a lot of traditions to the Word of God, but it was all well-intentioned. Now, their theology was such that they believed in life after death, individual mortality. They also believed in the resurrection and the final judgment. And they also believed in angels, both fallen angels, holy angels, and the unfallen angels as holy. And then the fallen angels or demons, they believed in them. And the Pharisees, because they accepted all of the books of the Old Testament, all 39 of them, the Jews call it the Tanakh, but avoid adding to the Word of God and divorcing ourselves from our culture. Now, the Sadducees were different. They didn't have the long history that the Pharisees had, so hundreds of years. Their history only went back a couple of years when the wealthy elites bought the high priesthood from Antiochus Epiphanes. The Sadducees subtracted from the Word of God and gave in to the culture. So you have one extreme of adding to the Word of God and divorcing yourself from the culture. And then with the Sadducees, it was subtracting from the Word of God and caving in to the culture. The Sadducees used their wealth to buy power. There have been three temptations that have been prevalent throughout all of history. Money, sex, and power. But power is the ultimate amnesia. You can see, look at Bloomberg. He spent millions of his own money. Of course, he's a billionaire, but he spent millions of his own money to try to buy the presidency. Well, he didn't get it. But power is the ultimate temptation. The Sadducees were powerful people. They had bought the high priesthood, and the temple was a cash cow. It was a huge moneymaker. By the way, the reason you have two high priests in the New Testament era, Annas and Caiaphas, was because the Sadducees, after the Romans took over, then they just thought, well, instead of buying the high priesthood from the Syrians, we'll just buy it from the Romans. That's what they did. As a matter of fact, to appease their pagan rulers, from 175 B.C. until 66 AD, over 230 years, the high priest ordered a daily sacrifice be offered in the temple at Jerusalem for the pagan ruler. And it didn't end until the Jewish War in 66. So the Sadducees were obsessed with power and prestige. Now, their theology was, because they only accepted the five books of Moses, they didn't accept all of the 39 books of the Old Testament, they did not believe in individual immortality, life beyond the grave. They did not believe in the resurrection and final judgment. They did not believe in angels, either unfallen and holy, or fallen and demonic. Moreover, they did not believe that there would was in Charleston at Elohim Orthodox Synagogue in the early 1800s when they split. You know, some wanted more liberal Judaism. And then you had a conference later, about 50 years later, in Pittsburgh in the 1880s. And you had another conference in Columbus, Ohio in the 1930s. And that was the origin of liberal Judaism. But we cannot go along with the extreme of trying to be intellectual, to have intellectual respectability, and caving into the culture as the Sadducees. Now, there are two extremes. The extreme of the Sadducees, of the Pharisees, of adding to the Word of God and divorcing yourself from God. And the extreme of the Sadducees, of subtracting from the Word of God and caving into the culture. The problem with extreme positions is you don't have just repeat slogans. That's all you have to do. It's just bumper sticker theology. But the problem with grappling with the scripture is that you have to think. You have to think through things. And that's why Jesus ordered us to avoid extremes. My mother died recently, a few months ago. She was 4 days short of 106. She was 30 years old when I was born. So if you do the math, if you know that I'm 76 years old. This is the most divided country, the most divided culture I have ever experienced in my entire life. Churches are divided. Our denomination is divided. Because the tendency is to go to these extremes. But the scriptures tell us that we need to think through. I used to tell students, a good sermon has a something to offend everyone. Because preaching addresses the conscience. You may find this offensive. The hope of individual Christians and Bible-believing Christians is not the Republican Party. The hope of Bible-believing Christians and the church is not the Democratic Party. The hope of individual Christians and the church is not in the Libertarian Party. The hope of Christians and the church is not in any third party that may come. The hope of the Christian church is applying biblical principles, biblical thinking to our theology and to our culture. So we'll have to think through issues. We're not very good at this, but there are primary issues. And there are secondary issues. And there are tertiary issues, third level issues. We tend to think of them as all primary issues. We need to remember Francis Schaeffer's comments about being co-religious.